أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome everybody. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. Brothers and sisters, I begin by offering my congratulations first of all to our master, the last hope of humanity, the one we are all waiting for, who will inshallah soon return. I offer him my congratulations on the birth of his grandfather, Amirul Mu'mineen. And after I acknowledge our master, then after that I have to begin with our leader, the Wali of the time, Imam Khamenei, and our Maraja, and then, of course, all of the people of conscience all over the world, because this celebration isn't only for us Muslims or only for the Shia. For everyone all over the world, we are lucky to live in a world in which Ali set his foot on, and inshallah we benefit from him. And of course, last but not least, you wonderful brothers and sisters here at the Hadi family. So we as believers are very grateful for some of the favors that Allah has given us. One of them that he's given us that we are extremely grateful for is that up until now our hearts have not rejected the wilaya of Ali. Wilaya is the most difficult part of the religion. Sometimes the believer is gifted something in the beginning of his life, but because of his own actions, the believer lets go of that wilaya. But wilaya, brothers and sisters, the wilaya of Ali is the key for our dunya and akhirah. Allah wanted everybody to enjoy this. I want to give you one short story about Amirul Mu'mineen, and then after that, a few reminders about this month. And then inshallah, maybe we'll go to the Mawlid after that. I might just speak briefly tonight. But first, a story about our master, Amirul Mu'mineen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So one day, our Prophet gave a ring to Ali. And he told Ali that he had a job for him. He wanted him to get something engraved on the ring. So he told him that go to, I don't know if you call him a ringmaster, somebody who engraves, go to this individual and tell them that on this ring I want to be written Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So Ali took it and he went over to the guy who had the ring and he told him that I would like you to write on this ring to engrave Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So the guy said, sure, 100%. What was incredible though, was when the guy started to write, his hand slipped. He made a mistake. And instead of writing Muhammad ibn Abdullah, he wrote Muhammad Rasulullah. So then Imam Ali came back later, and he's coming, and he said, the ring, he said, oh, Bismillah. Then he looks at the ring, Ali examines it, and he sees on it is not written Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the way that the Prophet had requested. Rather, on it is written Muhammad Rasulullah. So he talked to the guy, he said, I told you to write something else. The guy said, well, my hand slipped, my mistake. But he went and he took it to the Prophet. When he showed the Prophet the ring, then he explained the story. It was like the guy made a mistake. And the Prophet said, well, it's true. I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah. I also am Muhammad Rasulullah. No problem. The Prophet took the ring. The next day, when the Prophet woke up, he was examining his ring. And he saw something strange. There were two sentences on his ring. One of them was Muhammad Rasulullah. The other was Aliyun Waliyullah. At this time, Angel Jibrail descended from heaven. And he told him, because the Prophet explained to him, he said that this is very interesting. I had given a ring, this and this happened. And now there's two sentences on it. So Angel Jibrail told him, on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, you wrote what you wanted, and we wrote what we wanted. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And again, our hope is that mankind all together, all of the people of conscience, one day will benefit from the wilaya of Ali. Brothers and sisters, it's very good to have you back. It's been a little bit of a while since we've spoken, though. I believe this is the first time in the month of Rajab that I had the opportunity and the tawfiq to address you, mu'mineen and mu'minat. And my reminders today are going to be about the month of Rajab. So if you remember, brothers and sisters, the beginning of the month of Rajab, something happened. What happened? Some of the members of our community had the tawfiq to go to Washington, D.C., where the taghut of the time, Genocide Joe, is. And there they had the tawfiq to join thousands of people of conscience who are demanding an immediate ceasefire. There's no way that we as human beings, as followers of Ali, could witness this carnage and not say anything. So brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, some had the tawfiq to go there and join those masses of humanity, thousands of people who were protesting. You see, the thing about doing it in Washington, D.C. is you get to make sure that Sleepy Joe hears you. So they did it right over there, alhamdulillah. And we've been told in the hadith that this is the best kind of jihad. Hadith now from our prophet, he says this, afdhalul jihad. So the best kind of jihad, kalimatu haqqin, is to say truth, inda sultanin ja'ir, to a terrible tyrant, someone who could watch 110 days of destruction and carnage and savagery and still support it. So alhamdulillah, we had that tawfiq. So that was one of the weeks. Then the other week, unfortunately, there was inclement weather, so we weren't able to be together. But then now, today, which is we're commemorating the birth of Amirul Mu'mineen, but I want to mention some of the special things about this month. Hopefully we can take advantage of this month. You see, brothers and sisters, tonight is the 14th night of Rajab. It's a very special night. I'm going to mention some of the hadith about Rajab so we understand what tawfiq we have. Tomorrow is the 15th day. We can't do everything. Maybe we can do some of the a'mal, some of the easier a'mal. We can look in Mafatul Janan and find some of those easier ones. But we don't want something like this, which is this special, to pass by and we've done nothing when in regards to this. You see, now, the thing that I was thinking was this, because sometimes somebody like myself, we may be honest with ourselves and we look at our own a'mal, our own, the things that we do, whether it's our wajibat or our recommended acts, and we see that the actions are so flawed, right? If we think about them, the actions that we do are so flawed, we might lose hope. Why even bother? Unless we think about those who are no longer with us and how much they would value this opportunity. You see, in our hadith, we're told this. The remainder of the life of the mu'min is priceless. The rest of your life, you and I, the rest of our life is absolutely priceless. We have no idea how valuable it is. We have no idea of the thawab of sitting in the majlis of Ali, right? But those who've passed, like our own dear Sayyid Asad Ja'fari, or our own Yusuf Shami, right now, those guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Because the akhirah is very real once you go in the grave. So, how special is this month of Rajab? Hadith. The Prophet tells us this. He says, when the months, we're now in the 14th day, tomorrow, tonight is the night, inshallah, take advantage of tonight and then tomorrow. The hadith tells us this, it's from our Prophet speaking. He says, when the month of Rajab begins, Allah has one of his malaika, one of the angels, in the seventh heaven. And that angel, from the beginning of the month, starts to call out. And this call of the angel that the dead can hear, we can't hear it right now, but the angel is calling right now, even based on that hadith. The angel, when he's calling out from the seventh heaven, it's about the month of Rajab. What does the angel say? The first line of the angel is this. He says, "Tuba lidhakirin." Fortunate are those who are engaged in remembrance of Allah. This is the month for the remembrance of Allah. To speak to God, to talk to God. And of course, for you and I, we know that dhikr of Allah isn't just to say, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, right? More difficult than that are the wajibat. That's dhikr of Allah. The stances of Ali. Where would Imam Ali be right now? If he were to see the savagery in Palestine, where would Imam Ali be standing? Would Ali be silent? How would Imam Ali feel about the Yemenis, one of the most deprived nations on earth, standing up to the Tawaghit and saying that we're not going to let this slide? How would Imam Ali feel about them? The stances of Ali. So dhikr of Ali, one is the dhikr that I'm going to mention, inshallah, how we take even more advantage. But we don't want to forget, what we hear from the Urafa is not committing sin during these months. If you want to have a great Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr, it starts now in Rajab. Of course, the dhikr that I mentioned from the Urafa, very important, in Mafatihul Janan. But in addition to that, we don't want to forget the wajibat. And we don't want to forget our ideological and principled stances as believers. Right? Now, one of the things we want to do, and you've noticed this, if you've read in Mafatihul Janan, you'll notice there's three areas that I want to talk about. One of them for this month, for the month of Rajab, is istighfar. To ask Allah for forgiveness. And by the way, everyone needs to make istighfar. Allah's awliya are commanded in the Quran, like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, commanded in the Quran to make istighfar. Everybody's supposed to make istighfar. We all need istighfar for the month of Rajab. One of the best of the adhkar that we can do is that sincerely from the bottom of our hearts, we start to do that istighfar. Imam As-Sajjad has told us how to feel about this. What happens if we do sincere istighfar? You see, we serve a God who is so kind. Hadith now from the Imam, from the du'as of the Imam. The Imam says this, "Ya mubaddil as-sayyi'at bi'adhafiha min al-hasanat." God is so kind that if we will do real istighfar, He will turn our sins into good deeds. Mistakes that we made, Yawm al-Qiyamah, we'll see, because of istighfar, they were changed into good deeds. Subhanallah. We serve a very good God. So one of the first things we want to do for this month is istighfar. The other one that we want to do, brothers and sisters, is dua. This is the month of dua. Again, we'll go back to the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, because we don't know these things. We need to be taught by the Ahlul Bayt. What does Allah say about this month? Hadith. Man da'ani fi hadha ash-shahr. So the person who makes dua, who calls upon me, who speaks to God during this month, dua, God says, ajabtuhu. I will answer that person's prayers. This is the month. He says, wa man sa'alani ataituhu. The person who begs me, he says, I will grant them, I will give them. And he says, wa man istadani hadaituhu. That person who comes to me really looking for guidance. I'm looking for direction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will grant that person. He will take their hand. All for this month. What kind of dua should we make though? Brothers and sisters, the best dua are the words of the Ahlul Bayt themselves. Those dua that you see in Mafatihul Janan, those need to be written with gold. Those hadith. Those dua. So what kind of dua to make? Those that you find in Mafatihul Janan. Even if you find it difficult to do all of them, because there are so many that are mentioned for this, Maybe one, we could do some small ones and just repeat those. Yaman arjuhu, right? We have that we can repeat after the prayer. That's easy. We don't want to wear ourselves out. But for some of the du'as, it might be worth it just to look at the du'as and see how the Ahlul Bayt would talk to God. What would they ask Allah for? One line from one of the du'as, from Imam Sajjad, one line. So again, inshallah, we'll benefit from the du'as during this month. We will look at the du'as, at least read them, the translation. What is it that they would ask God for? One line. And how many of us would think about this? One line of it from Imam Sajjad. He tells us, the du'a that he makes is, O Allah, when I'm in the barzakh, when I'm in the grave, you take over the interrogation. Who would even think to ask that? When I'm in the grave, he says, instead of me seeing Nakir and Munkar, right, the two angels who come and interrogate, he says, show me Mubashir and Bashir. You see those two angels that we've heard about and they were so terrifying, Nakir and Munkar. It really depends on our actions. It doesn't have to be horrifying. It can be a wonderful experience. The Imam is saying, take advantage of Rajab. Ask God. God, you take over the interrogation. Let me read the line of the dua. The Imam, this is just one of the lines. Again, just to read over these duas, just to benefit. What is it we can ask God for? One line from Imam Sajjad is this. He says, Tawalla anta najati min musa'alat al-barzakh. That God, you take over. You rescue me during the interrogation in the barzakh. He says, Wadra anni munkaran wa nakira. Ward off from me munkar and nakir. Wa ari'ini mubashiran wa bashira. O Allah, you show me, let me see. Mubashir and bashir. You see, the angels, it can be a wonderful experience. Let me tell you a story from the time of Nabi Ibrahim. But first, salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I'm going to have a drink of water just to make sure my throat's wet enough to tell the story properly, inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So remember, what are we doing? We're saying what we should do during the month of Rajab is a special time. We don't know how many Rajabs we have left. We don't know if we're going to make it to the month of Ramadan. Even if we do make it to the month of Ramadan, it starts now. The preparation starts now. It's not 0 to 60 once the night begins. Starts now. What do we do? One of the things we want to do is istighfar. What else should we do? Dua. Dua, the best dua are dua of Ahlul Bayt. Read them just to see what they ask for. One of them is this one. And I was explaining to you the little story. It can be the case that instead of seeing Nakir and Munkar, that we see Bashir and Mubashir. Once our Prophet, Nabi Ibrahim, he saw the angel of death. Now this is for our benefit, Prophet Ibrahim asking. He said, I want you to show me, is it possible for you to allow me to see how you look when you take the soul of the mu'min, when you take the believer's soul, the angel of death, how do you look? So the angel said, sure, naam. He said, turn around. Nabi Ibrahim turned around. When he turned back, he saw the most handsome individual you could ever imagine. He talks about the clothing of the angel. Imam Sadiq telling the story. The clothing of the angel. How wonderful he smelled. How wonderful his akhlaq was. Nabi Ibrahim, when he saw him, he said that if all that the mu'min got after years of struggling in the dunya was to be able to gaze at your face, if that was the only reward, he said it would be enough. That's how wonderful the angel is. Just to be able to see the face of the angel of death, he said it would have been definitely worth it. Then he asked something else. He said, can you show me how you look when you take the soul of the fajr? The wicked person, the enemy of Allah. And at first the angel said no. Meaning the angel is not going to disobey the prophet, but he was like, you can't take it. You can't take it. Nabi Ibrahim said, no, I want to see. He said, turn around. He turned around, and then when he turned back, what he saw was so terrifying, so horrific. Nabi Ibrahim, who had been cast into the fire and didn't blink, they told him we're going to burn him alive. Nabi Ibrahim did not flinch. When he saw how the angel of death looks, when he takes the soul of the enemies of Allah, Nabi Ibrahim fainted. When he came to, he said, if that was the only chastisement, it would be enough. So, back to our own thing. During the month of Rajab, where God's saying that if you ask, I'll give you. And the Ahlul Bayt telling you what to ask for. That's one line of the dua. There are some duas in the month of Rajab. Again, at least to just read through them. See what it is that the Ahlul Bayt would ask for. And then you ask. You say, oh Allah, by the right of Ali. Me maybe. Right? Inshallah. So, the last thing, of course, is the idea of tawassul. Tawassul during this month. And inshallah, after this, if our brothers are ready, we're going to go ahead and have the speech, which will be, not the speech, but the mawludi will have the recitation. I'll leave the actual speech for another time, inshallah. Maybe I'll give you guys just a tease of what it's going to be about, maybe. But then after that, leave the rest of it for next time. So, what happens is, the last thing we want to do during this month is a month for tawassul. When we're going to break bread together, inshallah, brothers and sisters. Make sure that if you see a new face, that you're welcoming. This is another person who loves Imam Ali. They're here. They're at dinner. Don't just go with your own friend circles. Right? There's a new person. Who are you? Assalamu alaikum. Introduce the person. Make sure that we break bread together. Again, the reward of spending time with the friends of Ali, doing tawassul in this way. Again, we have no idea how great it is. So, brothers and sisters, as a teaser, well, we're not gonna talk about the speech now. We'll leave it, inshallah, for another time. What we've been doing so far has been to try to adopt a Quranic aqidah. To make sure that our beliefs are in line with the Quran. How sad would it be after a life of ubudiyah and service to God, to wake up in the hereafter and find out what I believe about Islam is not what Islam preached. Or, while we're here in the dunya, instead of enjoying those benefits, those blessings that come with the Quranic aqidah, to be denied of those because I simply didn't know. So what we've been doing is all of us, alhamdulillah, we're practicing Muslims. But how we were introduced Quran or our beliefs is very different from how the Quran introduces it. For instance, we all learned in Sunday school that Tawheed, which is what we're on now, Tawheed means Allah is one and not two. We don't believe in two gods. We don't believe in 365 gods. But what we did when we're reading over this book together is up until now, we've gone over five different takes on Tawheed. What is Tawheed according to Quran? Five different takes that we've gone over so far. And then after that, let me introduce what we're going to go over next. So the first one, brothers and sisters, was that we were introduced to Quran. The Quran introduces Tawheed as our world view. How we view the world. How we view mankind. The metaphysical realities. We learned that from the Quran. That was the first take. The second take was we went over the outcome of embracing Tawheed. This wasn't a dry belief that in my mind I believe there's one God and not two. Tawheed in Islam comes with responsibilities, commitments. What we learned was that as a muwahhid, as someone who believes that there's only one God, we have a responsibility to rebuild the world on the image of Tawheed. That right now the world is built based on Jahiliyyah. You guys saw that the ruling in The Hague. And you're going to tell me, and this is happening in front of all of mankind. We all saw after 100 days, 110 days of savagery, 75 years of oppression. And the Palestinians, their oppression didn't begin 75 years ago. After all that, after watching bulldozers dig up bodies from graves, how many babies dying, how many women die, all of that, we're watching that. And then the court decides that Israel needs to behave and make sure that it doesn't go against the acts of genocide. You haven't seen anything up until now? This is genocide? This is, how does the world of it? How dare that judge talk about the Israeli hostages? What about all those Palestinians? What about those who were in prison from before? What about the children in jail? Nothing. The Israeli, right? Do they think we're stupid? This only happens when you have a world which is not based on tawheed. So the next one was the commitment of being a muwahid. If I believe Allah is one, I have to rebuild this world based on the instructions of Allah. So it's a world based on tawheed. The next one that we learned about was that worship belongs only to Allah. We learned about the concept of demigods, human idols. And one of the things that we learned about tawheed was that it's not just formal worship, bowing down to a stone idol. The next lesson we learned was that obedience belongs only to Allah if we have embraced tawheed. Obedience. Obedience of other than Allah is shirk. So we learned about that. We also learned about the abolition of social classes. There is no chosen race. It's not that one group, their hostages are so important. Even if they're military personnel, even if they're settlers who are there as part of the iron fist of that murderous regime, that we have to get them out, and who cares about the... No. Tawheed in Islam is that we're all the children of Adam. So that was what we learned. Now, what we were going to cover, and inshallah we will cover, is the psychological effects of tawheed. One of them that we'll spend some time on next time is the idea that as a muwahid, the muwahid fears no one. One of the reasons for the misery we're seeing right now, even though we have a billion Muslims, is this concept. Why is it the Yemenis can stand up to the mightiest armies on earth and fight back? And right over the border of Gaza, you have armies. Why is it that there's an axis of resistance? Because they've embraced this lesson. And why is it that others haven't yet experienced that good that Allah is going to give them? But inshallah, we will discuss that at another time. Now, inshallah, we will have our mauludi and we will hear some of the praise of Amirul Mu'mineen, inshallah, preceded by salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.